Listening to the Hourchive, our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time. Summer of Love.
Summer series.
Summer series of love.
This is the summer series.
Music festivals. Rock shows. We talked about rock shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We talked a little bit about music festivals right. In rock shows.
Yeah.
But here's the distinction, I think, that as I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
All of our discussions were about touring performances.
Yeah.
Touring
yes,
performances.
Touring.
The shroud of touring hangs over this episode.
Alan Turing's festivals. I mean, shows.
Shows. But I think when I say like festival, music festival, mm-hmm. or when I hear a music festival, I don't think of like touring shows. Like my mind immediately goes to like a 3-day, once yeah. a year, once in a lifetime
yeah.
well, thing, maybe, possibly, maybe. Twice
yeah.
in a lifetime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like an annual or semi-annual thing that... where you bring a lot of bands and a lot of people together
yeah.
in a single location mm-hmm. rather than bringing the bands and the festivals to all of the people in various locations.
Right.
That's the definition of touring. I don't know if you know that, but just in case, there it is. So this is a little bit different. What we're talking about here is a little bit different than mm-hmm. than your traditional... I'm going to go see this band rock show, right?
Yeah.
Starting with...
Well, the thing is, I think the motivations are very different. Like with...
Oh, good call.
You know, when you go to a show, like a band that's touring, you're mm-hmm. very specifically going there for the band, to see them and
yeah,
to hear the music. And that's really it. I mean, you're not... Not all the time, but for the most part, that's your goal. And
right.
The experience itself isn't necessarily... the primary goal, right?
Yeah. It could be. There could be a little bit of
yeah.
a compliment.
Well,
there,
and then but I think there's also a distinction between sort of the scene, quote unquote, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like being in the scene and going to shows a lot, and you're not really going for the band itself, but you're going because you
right.
want to be part of that scene.
Yeah.
But if you're going to a show primarily to see a band, it's different than with a festival where you're going, not only to hear music, but to experience that festival kind of
yeah
vibe, right?
Yeah,
because it's different. It's a different feel because they are generally, you know, a few days long.
It's a lot,
like you said, and
it's an overwhelming.
It's a community. It's as much.
It's a village.
I think it's you know a one-off show is communal. In a certain respect, but not nearly so much as a festival.
Yeah. Well, and they're long. Like, even if they're not a multi-day thing,
yeah.
like, you know, a festival, by virtue of the fact that it's a festival, that's an outing.
It's at least a full
it's
day.
It's not just, it's, you know, we're going to go see a band or we're going to, you know,
yeah.
have a drink or whatever. It's like you are going to be, you're committing to a pretty lengthy enterprise.
Yes.
There.
Yeah.
And that,
there's a lot of things that go in with that commitment too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. A lot of things. One, like you got to think about like, who are you going with?
Yeah. Cause
you don't want to go to a festival alone. You know, I mean, I feel like there's a distinction. I will go to a show and see a band.
Yeah.
I don't have any reservations about doing that, like sort of by myself.
Sure.
Right. But there's no way I'm going to go to a festival by myself and commit to walking around and standing in the sun and seeing bands for like 8 or 9 or 10 hours of the day.
That's
by myself.
That's another distinction is you do a lot of walking at these festivals because there's generally multiple stages, right?
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. Like you know, you've got to decide who you want to go with.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, are you staying on the festival grounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because in some cases, you can bring a tent.
Yeah, if you're talking a multi-day thing, like that's, in a way, it's a lot like a camp out.
You've got to structure your day. Well, you don't have to, but depending on what you want to get out of that music festival, if you're going, you know, because a lot of bands you like are there,
mm-hmm.
and it's a multiple stage setup,
oh,
then the chances are you might have to choose between one or the other, and
you're prioritizing.
Yeah, there's some scheduling that's going to go on. Now, you know, if that's not really your intent, you might just wander around.
Yeah, let serendipity bring you and the bands together.
Right.
Yeah, which is another thing too that it goes along with festivals, where I think there's a discovery element there.
Yeah,
that you don't get in like just a dedicated,
right?
You know. Single
There's
band
greater,
performance.
Greater
pool
of bands to discover.
Yeah. Maybe there's a pool too.
Yeah, and there might be a pool.
You could go swimming.
And then a lot of times there's merchandise like stands beyond just like the band, right? You've got people selling.
Well, yeah, you have vendors of all stripes that are
selling
vending
stripes.
Their vendables. Yeah.
They're selling stripes.
Some of them might be.
Yeah.
Some of them might be selling dots.
Yeah.
Drugs.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa.
It got serious.
Oof.
You better watch.
Dial it back.
Yeah, yeah. Don't talk about drugs. Don't talk about drugs. That's my advice to everyone.
Yeah.
Just don't talk about it.
Just say don't.
Just say don't talk about drugs. That's like a less good slogan, isn't it?
Yes.
Just say don't talk about, what's the acronym? Just say D-T-A-D. D-TAD. You might have like a DARE booth at a festival.
Oh yeah, yeah. I feel like there's a lot more there's a significant chance at a festival that there's going to be some either like political or cultural entity that is represented there that is independent of the music scene.
Yeah.
And is likely going to be the source of much jocular is that the right word? Am I using that right?
Sure.
I don't think I am.
Keep going. Pretend like it is, right?
Mocular activity. That's definitely not
derisive?
The word, but yeah. It's going to be there's going to be like some good cause that's represented there, and it's invariably going to be the source of some joking and not necessarily mean spirited.
They'll be made the subject of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder, is that a more modern thing? Like the early festivals, did they have that kind
of? Oh, well, it was probably it. I think there was always that. The chance of it.
Well, I feel like it's a thing where now these organizations are like, oh, here's a prime spot to target, you know, this age group.
Oh, sure.
Right? And so they set up a booth. and
like they're on drugs. We'll sell them on Greenpeace.
Yeah. They're handing out applications.
Yeah.
And then you've also got radio booths now, right?
Like the
local radio stations set
Has
up.
Has that always been the case, or is that a new thing?
I don't know. That's the problem. Like, we don't know what those early festivals were like.
Yeah.
What's the first festival?
Well, that probably depends on your, like, qualifications, because I think festivals of music probably go back a long, long time.
Yeah.
But I think when we talk about, like, sort of the current, recent, modern era, I think the one that immediately sticks out to me is Woodstock. But I know that that's not the very first one. Okay. I think that may have been sort of a turning point where it you know, became more than just about the music, you know, where the festival took on a scene of its own.
Yeah.
But I think, like, well, there were jazz festivals through the 50s, at least, probably going back into the 40s, like Newport had an annual jazz festival in Rhode Island. That's Newport.
Still have it?
I think they do. Nice. Yeah. And there was like a folk festival too, because there was that the one year that Dylan went to the folk festival and he plugged in and everybody was like, no, and he got booed off the stage
they were
or
mad
something
because he plugged
because he played electric. Yeah, electric. He played electric.
Boogie woogie woogie.
He sings the body electric. He, yeah,
you can feel it. It's electric. Boogie woogie woogie.
That's what he played.
Yeah, that's why they booed him off.
Yeah.
You can feel it. It's electric. Boogie woogie boo.
Was he standing there with those cue cards?
Yeah.
That's what, they all just said boo.
He's doing everything.
The audience was just responding to the cue cards.
He's singing all those dance hits.
Yeah.
The Tootsie Roll. The Tootsie Roll.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.
Wait,
no
more. Who am I doing?
I don't know.
Am I doing Dylan? I'm doing Neil Young.
You were doing Dylan at first.
I'm doing Neil Young.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, that's even better.
I'm doing Neil Young. Yeah, you're doing Bob Dylan. Wow, I totally did the wrong guy. I'll start over. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
So there were a bunch of festivals around for a while.
Yeah.
But I feel like the music festival as we know it, or as we think of it in its formative phase, like it came into prominence in the 60s.
Yeah.
Or started there. And I think the first one, I actually looked this up,
yeah,
was there were two in 1967. There was the Fantasy Fair and Magic Mountain Music Festival.
Sounds like a drug thing.
On Mount Tamalpe.
Okay.
Tamalpe. Mount Tamalpe.
Where is that?
I don't know where that is, actually. Oh, wait. These are both in Northern California.
Ah.
On consecutive weekends, actually.
Whoa.
So that was the Fantasy Fair and Magic Mountain Music Festival. I wonder if that's near Magic Mountain, the theme park.
No.
Maybe. Oh, what if that's how it got its name?
From the theme park?
No, from the festival.
Oh.
Maybe.
Which one came first?
I was like making that up. I'm going to say that the festival came first.
All right.
And then the theme park, the Six Flags Park. Oh. Yeah.
What's the other festival?
The other one, the following weekend, was the Monterey International Pop Festival.
Hmm.
And that was in Monterey.
Now, do you are there any notable acts that you know of? I'll say if I've heard of them as you list them.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to list all of them because there were a lot.
List some of them.
Okay. Dionne Warwick.
Yes.
You were not expecting me to say Dionne Warwick, were you? The Doors.
Yes.
The Lamp of Childhood.
Wait, say The Doors again.
The Doors.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
You didn't do that for Dionne Warwick.
I can't think of a song.
I'm going to
do it if I know a song.
Jim Queskin, the Jim Queskin Jug Band.
Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Got Nigel. That's their song.
The Chocolate Watch Band?
Nope.
How about the merry-go-round?
No.
No. I think those are actually in like descending order. So
oh,
I think
like
I think Roger Collins, Mount Rushmore, Dionne Warwick, and the Doors were like the headliners of the
come
first
on,
day.
Baby, light my fire.
Now keeping
on through to the other side.
If that is indeed the case that I'm reading these, then these next ones would be the headliners of the second
okay.
night. Sons of Champlin?
Nope. That sounds familiar though.
Jefferson Airplane.
Oh wait, they do. Wait, they do that one song. What's that one song they do? They do a song. It's about an airplane.
I don't. Know.
Wake me up before you go. Right?
Yeah.
No, leaving on a jet plane.
That's them?
No.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Jefferson Airplane?
They're not. They didn't do. I like to dream. That's Creedence Clearwater Revival, right?
No,
that's California. That's Sweet Home. That's the Eagles.
Sweet Home California.
The Eagles.
Hotel Sweet Home.
What? No, it's Sweet Home Alabama. What's who does that?
Nobody who was at this festival.
Wait. But is Jefferson Airplane the guys that did? I like to dream.
No,
yes,
that
yes,
was
right between the sound machine.
Who was that?
Steppenwolf. You
yeah,
don't
it was
know
Steppenwolf.
What we may find. Why don't you come with me, little girl, on a magic carpet ride? Why don't you come with me, little girl?
Come with me
on a magic carpet ride.
The Birds.
Oh, yeah.
Now
yeah.
is the season time. Turn, turn. Yeah.
For every season, turn. That? Turn,
yeah, yeah.
turn.
Yeah.
There is a season, turn.
The Grassroots.
A time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to live, a time to die.
A time to be. The Lamp of Childhood also played.
No, they didn't.
The second
day. That's
the
same guys.
No, I'm sure that there's a story behind that. Country Joe and the Fish, the Fifth Dimension.
Okay.
When your head is in the seventh house. Isn't that it?
I don't know that song.
And Jupiter lands with Mars.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
The Age of Aquarius?
Oh, that's the age. I don't like that song. That's a terrible song.
Yeah. That is the Fantasy Fair and Magic Mountain Festival. Right. Now, I'm gonna assume that the fact that it was the Fantasy Fair, they were going for sort of a medieval, you know,
man, I hope so.
Fair, owing to the origin of festivals and
awesome.
Fairs.
Do they have minstrels going around?
Probably.
That'd be excellent.
Dylan? The Monterey International Pop Festival, that was 3 days.
Yeah.
And that... It
oh,
was,
this is... So all those other performers were the other...
That was all the
oh.
Fantasy Fair Festival.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
So all those people are performing there one weekend. The following weekend, the Monterey Pop Fest.
Monterey Jack.
Yes, the Monterey Jack Pop Fest.
Cheese and Pop
It took
Fest.
The place of the Jack in the Box Pop Fest. After the E. coli scare at the Jack in the Box Pop Fest.
All right.
So this one, This was actually put together by, so there were like promoters. There was one of the guys from the Mamas and the Papas. And this was actually on the site of the Monterey Jazz Festival, which had been around before that. The Monterey Jack Jazz Festival. Yeah. interestingly enough, a lot of the same people were at, well, some of the same people were at the Monterey Pop Festival. Jefferson Airplane.
I like to dream. Oh, no, it's...
Yeah. The Who?
Wait. I'm trying to think of how to do this. Can you do this? That noise from Baba O'Reilly. Dude, why'd you stop?
Sorry. All right, who you got for this one? Janis Joplin. Didn't she die? Didn't she choke on a chicken bone?
Didn't she die?
No, she had an overdose, didn't
what's
she?
What's that one? Yeah. What's that yeah. one song? Oh, baby. What is it? Come on, take another little piece of my heart.
Oh,
now,
yeah. That is her.
Yeah.
No, this is interesting. There were a lot of acts. So that's all like the biggies, right?
Yeah.
Now, then there were a whole bunch of people that didn't show up but were supposed
to. Those jerks. DMX, right?
Yeah, DMX was totally
not
there.
He never shows up.
Not there.
Do you know how often he doesn't show up?
No.
All the time. It's like a joke now. But his Rough Riders show
up. But it started there. It started at Monterey. That was the first one that he no-showed. Yeah.
His Rough Riders always get there. And we don't know where he is, but we're here.
But we're here.
Yeah.
Are we the Rough Riders?
Not you and me.
We're the Rough Riders of the archive.
DMX would ever let us in the Rough Riders.
No. Does he have like a test?
Who wins in a fight? The Rough Riders or the Regulators?
Oh. I don't know. I was all prepared for you to say the Rough Riders or the Mamas and the Papas. And I was going to say the Mamas and the Papas.
Well, yeah, that's obvious.
Huh.
The thing is, I don't know how many Rough Riders there are who didn't show up other than DMX.
The Beach Boys didn't show up.
What?
Yeah, the Beach Boys did not.
Too big, huh? Beach Boys?
Carl Wilson was in a feud with the officials, with officials because he refused to be drafted into military service. Smile had just been aborted. And Brian Wilson was in a depressed state and unwilling to perform.
Wow. Wasn't he like that for most of his life?
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
For another 30 years.
Yeah,
so
that was the beginning.
They're still waiting, actually. The people at Monterey are still like checking the clipboard.
Tapping their watch.
Yeah. Looking.
I mean, any minute.
Hendrix is on the watchtower. He's looking. Don't see them. the Beatles were rumored to appear.
Oh, that's a lie, though.
But that was total.
They spread that themselves.
Yeah. We're going to be at Monterey. You'll see
I don't mean the Beatles spread that lie. Their promoters did.
It was my idea. The Kinks could not get a work visa. Yeah, that's interesting. There were a whole bunch of people that did not show up there. The Doors, the Monkees, Cream.
Oh man, the Monkees.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
What would have been great is if like the Beatles had been like, you know, yes, we're going to be at Monterey. Come see us there. It's gonna be great. And then they don't show up, but the Monkees do. And then the Monkees totally like steal the show. It's like, it's one of those like quintessential.
Cheer up, Sleepy Jean.
Oh man, it captures the zeitgeist and. What would have been like if the Monkees had like become the Beatles after that?
I don't know.
The Beatles after that.
It'd be great. We'd have a 6-part documentary about the Monkees, or 12-part. I don't know. Right?
I would so watch that.
So those are like the first two.
Yeah.
Kind of that feel the way that we expect festivals to feel. But then there's the one, right? The one that happens a couple years after these two.
Yeah, a little down the road.
That really just sets a cultural milestone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, We're talking about the Monterey Jazz Festival of 1960. No, Woodstock.
The return 69. Of the Jack in the Box Festival.
Finally, after yeah. 2 years.
They blew up those Monterey Jack.
Hey, jerks.
Yeah, so Woodstock happened.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was there.
But if
in spirit.
Do you remember it?
No.
Well, then you were there.
Because anyone who remembers Woodstock wasn't really there.
Was that Dylan?
No.
Dylan was
this
not.
Is Dylan.
He was not at Woodstock.
Because yeah. he's too cool for that.
I think he was sort of too cool for it at the time. It's interesting that there were a lot of people that.
Weren't there?
Yeah. That you would think of having been there. Like
you sort of assume
like,
every. Inspirational or every sort of 60s musician that you could think of that like influential, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah,
every influential
iconic.
Yeah, you assume was there,
yeah.
right? Because it has become this sort of mythical.
It's the legend.
Yeah.
It is the festival or the
Hendrix was there.
Hendrix was there. Yeah, he was actually, this was interesting, he was one of the last ones to play. Mm-hmm. He went on at 8:30 in the morning on Monday.
Oh, wow.
Because the thing ran over. Yeah, it's there was a lot of controversy around it. Like, growing up, I would always hear, like, about what?
The festival,
yeah. Both its planning, because a lot of people in the neighboring areas protested it. They didn't want anything to do with it.
Right. And it was some dude's land, right?
Yeah, it was a dairy farm.
Yeah.
And it was originally, it was going to be held in one town, and there was some sort of problem. They weren't able to do it there. So sort of at the last minute, or relatively at the last minute, they moved it over to this other guy's farm.
Right.
And so they didn't really have time to prepare as well as they should have.
Right.
And they got overwhelmed by people. It was bigger than the attendance was bigger than they expected.
Right.
And it. I think my impression growing up was that like everybody went to Woodstock. Everybody went to Woodstock.
Yeah.
Like I remember like, you know, talking to my parents about music or something
yeah.
and being like, so tell me about Woodstock. And they're like, we weren't at Woodstock.
Right.
And I'm like, what do you mean? Everybody in the 60s was at Woodstock. Yeah. You know, and I genuinely believed that. Like
right.
I thought that everybody who was in a certain age bracket in
yeah.
the 60s went to Woodstock because that's the kind of like legend that it has
sure.
in these hushed tones of remembrance
yeah.
that people talk about. But so it was sort of successful. You know, obviously it left an impression.
It was culturally, astronomically successful, right?
Yes. Yeah. But it's interesting that it didn't, there were a lot of requests sort of following it to do another one, like
mm-hmm.
right afterwards, and nobody wanted to touch it. Like right away.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to do anything with it. The guy was like, nope, you're not having my land back.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, go back to milking cows. And well, I think, and then too, like a lot of people ended up, you know, either dying or, you
right.
know, falling from prominence sort of right around that same time.
Yeah.
Including the people who were there and the people who weren't there. And of course, there were a lot of people who didn't show up that apparently were supposed
Beatles,
to be there.
The Rolling Stones.
Bob Dylan, Beatles, Stones, The Doors.
Are you serious?
Zeppelin, yeah. Chicago.
All the same people.
All of these people are supposed to
Chicago,
be there.
Chicago, Boston, Kansas,
San Francisco.
all the state
all the
and city bands were rumored. California.
They weren't
Hotel
allowed.
Hotel California
there.
Was going to play.
Yeah, they couldn't go there because it was in New York.
In fact, there were rumors.
States can't travel. Cities can't travel.
There were rumors that the songs Sweet Home Alabama and Hotel California would be performed at the Woodstock, where they never were. Right?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Skinner.
Oh, did he not play Woodstock?
No, I think they were later than that.
Man, see, that's the thing. Like,
in our minds, like, I'm pulling
for
in
us,
all of these.
I think, I bet that's a common thing for people like us who are the progeny of the generation that did Woodstock, right? That would have been the ones at Woodstock. we all kind of feel like the music that they listened to, like everyone was at Woodstock, yeah. right? Not only everyone attended it, but all the musical acts that you can think of
yes.
from that era, whether, you know.
In 3 days, they were all there. Yeah.
But they weren't.
No.
It's funny how, like, what do you think it was about that festival that became so infamous? Because, you know, there are a lot of sort of things that are referenced, right? There mm-hmm. was, like, wasn't there, like, supposedly some bad acid going around Woodstock?
And somebody actually died of a drug overdose.
Right.
And also somebody was run over with a tractor, apparently.
And there's the mud people or whatever, right?
It was dirty. There was a thunderstorm, so it got really muddy. And I think there were, you know, probably inadequate facilities and stuff like that. But I think it was, well, one, I think the people who enjoyed it really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, like it was the main thing of their life. Yeah. Right. And it was probably a case where people who weren't there.
Yeah.
Wished after the fact
like
that they had been there.
Really missed something.
Yeah. Because it's weird. Like, you know, nobody says, like, oh, I remember Monterey.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some people probably do. Music nerds probably do. But, like, just your regular general yeah. populace, nobody says, like, well, I was at the Magic Mountain yeah. Festival.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers that one, but everybody remembers Woodstock.
I bet it would have been terrible to be there. I bet I would have hated it.
Yeah. Well, in general, I think, like, any place where you're going to, like, lie around and get muddy is not my thing.
Let's take a step forward in time.
Yeah.
Let's bridge the gap between Woodstock 69.
Oh, boy.
And let's step into the worst possible incarnation of a festival with Woodstock
99.
You guys are dirty. Okay. Yeah.
Like at the time, I just sort of thought, "Oh, okay, they're doing another Woodstock," you know. Mm-hmm. And thinking about it now, it seems like the worst idea anyone ever had.
Yeah.
And
in,
not
in
just,
retrospect,
not,
yes.
Well, not
yeah.
just because of what we know that happened at Woodstock '99, but also just like, I mean, it's a stupid idea, to especially in the time that it happened, right?
Yeah.
The late '90s, you're moving into the early 2000s. And music, especially popular music, has become a real kind of like sort of fakery. You know, like anyone who's established in the music industry at this point seems like a sellout, quote unquote, or
yeah.
doesn't feel like a genuine artist that is, you know, making music for the love of it or for political reasons, mm-hmm. you know, which maybe was what Woodstock 69 felt more like, right?
Yeah, well, I think in general, everything was just a little bit more at odds with in 99. Like in 69, and maybe this is part of the reason why everybody remembers it yeah. so well, it was like everybody seemed to be on the same page.
Yeah, like,
you know, art
love.
And music and culture were all sort of in the same space,
yeah.
like psychologically, you know? Whereas in 99, like I feel like music was, like you say, kind of fractured. You
yeah.
know, it was like you had the people who were into real music and then you had the people who
quote
were
unquote.
Into this, yeah, yeah, you know, BS, whatever's, you
yeah.
know, playing on MTV or whatever. Everything felt very artificial in that regard.
Well, and even the festival itself, like if you sort of track the progress of Woodstock 99, it really exemplifies, I think, that moment in time in a way where, like, I think the prime thing that stands out to me is in the, you know, with the original Woodstock, you had the mud people, right? And these were people who, I think, due to the thunderstorms, like, because the ground was so, you know, caked with mud, people themselves just started playing in the mud, and then they were covered in it, and it was a, you know, a fun freewheeling kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And then in 99, of course, we have to replicate that. Did it even rain? I don't think there was even, like, weather like that. They just got a hose out or something.
Yeah, they were. Well, I think it was super hot, so they were, like, spraying people down.
And it was just, like, thinking about that, I'm just sort of like, I mean, we don't have to copy it.
Yeah.
You know,
don't need mud to be Woodstock.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like I've seen, you know, interview footage of those people at Woodstock 99 be like, oh, we're the mud people again.
Yeah, it definitely felt like people were playing a role.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that was part of my, like, thinking as it was getting together was, you know, like, I could already see, you know, like, stores selling 60s clothing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was all, there was this whole idea of, It had an expectation built into it,
yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why I think it was sort of doomed,
yeah.
You know, from the beginning. So that it happened. Well, and I guess another thing too, like we tend to think when we look back on Woodstock 69,
yeah,
we think of everybody being there,
yeah.
Going into Woodstock 99. It was like, who are these bands? You know, there were a few, like, big names, but for the most part, it was like, you know, they were just grabbing whoever.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what I remember. I remember thinking, like, this, I would not want to see any of these bands. You
Know? And I'm, what, like, Limp Bizkit was there? I think.
Yeah. Pretty infamously.
Right. Limp Bizkit is when the sort of riot aspects started happening, right?
Yeah, yeah. So there were all these, like, sort of factors. It was really, really hot.
Yeah.
There was not enough food. The facilities were inadequate. There were probably more people, you know, there than they were able to manage. And during Limp Bizkit's performance on Saturday night, fans started tearing plywood from the walls. Yeah, it just went nuts after that.
When there was a fire, right?
Yeah, I don't remember when that started. I don't know if anybody died, but I know there was, like, a lot of reports of, like, assaults.
Yeah.
And then eventually, I think it was the following night, during the Chili Peppers. Yeah, final hours of the concert, a group of peace promoters led by an independent group called PAX distributed candles to those stopping at their booth during the day, intending them for a candlelight vigil to be held during the Red Hot Chili Peppers performance of the song Under the Bridge. During the band's set, the crowd began to light the candles, some also using them to start bonfires.
Oh, brother.
Hundreds of empty plastic water bottles littered the lawn were used as fuel for the fire. After the Chili Peppers finished with their main set, the audience was informed about a bit of a problem.
Ugh.
An audio tower caught fire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then the fire department was called in. Yeah, and Anthony Kiedis from the Chili Peppers referred to the... He said the fires reminded him of Apocalypse Now. Which is both, you know, sort of scary and like, deeply affecting and also kind of really dumb.
Yeah.
And, like, a pretty stupid approximation.
Right.
So it didn't go well. And I think it was interesting that you could look at that in a lot of different ways. You know, were there too many expectations for it to live up to the original? Was it just a sign of the times, or was it a mix of both?
It just seems like a very bad idea. Not because, like, one assumes that the people are going to riot, but just that why bother attaching the name to it? You know what I mean? Why you're setting yourself up to fail.
Yeah.
You know, just do a festival. Like, do some, you know, the MTV Outdoor Festival or whatever.
Yeah.
And invite, because it was, you know, MTV bands for the most part, right?
Yeah, like, yeah,
bands
totally.
Bands played heavily on MTV. And, you know, putting that Woodstock label on it just immediately dooms it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I think in the reaction too, it was almost like people were waiting for it to fail.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, when you have a fire, you know, breakout or a fight, you can then, like, you know, people can be like, the original Woodstock was all about peace and love.
Yeah, exactly.
This one's about fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So Woodstock, you know, it really died out horribly.
Yeah.
But Lollapalooza actually sort of came into its own later.
Yeah.
Like it started out as a touring festival in the 90s. And then actually, in a lot of ways, a cultural successor to Woodstock, because you had like artists and political groups and stuff like that. And then it sort of got burnt out. And I think Perry Farrell actually, one of the later years of that touring festival, Metallica was going to join the festival, and he actually got into a fight. Like, he said he wouldn't participate if they were involved, because he disagreed with
he's
macho stance of the
music.
He's
of the band
Jane's Addiction. Yeah.
Right.
So that festival died out, and then sort of the mid-2000s, they brought it back again, but instead of touring, they just did one weekend out of the year in Chicago, and that's where it's been, I think, 6 or 7 years now. They do it every summer.
Have you ever gone?
I've never been.
Nor have I. I haven't really gone to any of the major festivals apart from, like, Warped Tour, you know what I mean? Or, like, local festivals that are specific to the area. What are the other ones? There's like, does this count Burning Man? Does that count?
I think so.
That beyond just music. And then there's, what's the one? Coachella. Coachella.
Yeah.
Is that like the indie band festival? No. I assume it's an indie band festival because my friend Nick has gone, and he's a hipster indie guy.
He's a hipster boy.
Yeah, he's a hipster boy. He's got a hipster beard.
And a Coachella beard.
And he wears hipster glasses and a hipster hat. And so he likes synth bands like Modest Mouse.
Modest Mouse.
And he likes Fleet Foxes.
Star Fox.
Right?
Fox and Hounds.
What's that one song? I belong to you. You belong to me. You're my sweet.
That's the Lumineers.
That's
not Fleet Foxes.
But
Fendi.
But he
Fendi
loves
bands.
Those Fendi bands. And so I feel like since he goes to Coachella, it must be a Fendi band.
Some of them are. The White Stripes, Jay-Z. Tool, Beastie Boys, Chili Peppers, Dr. Dre. Yeah. So,
well,
I mean, there was a decent swath of...
You tell me to smile. You stick around and make it worth your while. Smile. Profile. I said, they always like to say when I say woo, child. Get up on the battle, come into now. You got call.
Coachella was notable in 2012 because that was the appearance of the Tupac hologram.
Oh God!
Yeah, I knew you would love that. Love that.
It wasn't a hologram.
Is that your problem with it? That it wasn't actually a hologram?
Yeah, it was a projection. I mean, I will be totally honest. It was pretty impressive.
I was pretty
impressed.
Like,
it was a computer rendered Tupac,
right?
That performed. But how weird would it be to be in that crowd?
Yeah. Like, well, especially if you didn't know it was coming.
And how excited can you get?
And you're like, what is that?
Like, do you feel kind of silly?
Yeah. You know, it's the kind of thing where you probably can't really get excited about it. Even if, like, you're a huge Tupac fan, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe. Especially if you're a huge Tupac fan, because maybe you're really offended by it. But I feel like you would. There's no way to look at that and not question it. You know, there's no way to just go with it, really.
Well, and you think about like the dynamics between the musical group or artist and the crowd.
Right.
They're feeding off each other, but in this case, the holographic Tupac,
it can't react.
It can't.
Yeah, to the crowd.
And so it's sort of the scripted thing. And I'm reminded of the Gorillaz, who also have done tours where they project the characters onto the stage, mm-hmm. on these huge like panes of glass, basically. And so it's as if the Gorillaz, the characters, are playing, but mm-hmm. there's an actual band like hidden away
performing.
So you can still get that kind of crowd feeding off of the band and the band feeding off the crowd to a certain degree. But the Tupac thing, I remember thinking it was unsettling, not like, oh, it's the ghost of Tupac, but just like kind of weird to like project this, you know, dead artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like you think about, you know, years from now, them doing that with like the Beatles.
Yeah, it's probably inevitable.
And how strange that would be.
It probably, a lot of it depends on who you are. If you had never grown up with any Tupac,
yeah,
you probably would not think it's as weird as somebody who listened to Tupac when he was alive.
Sure.
You know? So, I mean, for like a kid going to that who doesn't know any differently,
well,
it's probably just awesome.
But why? Like, what are they getting out of it if they don't know who Tupac is?
Well, they probably know of Tupac as this, like, legend.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I mean, it would be like, for me, like, going to see something, and all of a sudden, there's a holographic John Lennon up there.
Mm.
You know, I never, you know, John Lennon was dead before I was listening to music and everything, so I only had this sort of vague, iconic figure in the back of my head. But
then the weird thing is, like, now someone has sort of chosen how Tupac will act in that performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of saying, okay, and I know that they based a lot of it off of actual performances he did. Like, from what I understand, the animation and stuff was all kind of influenced by or taken directly from real performances of his.
They put those little, like,
Andy
ping Serkis pong balls. Things on him. Yeah. And tracked his movements.
Not on him. but it's weird to think, like, okay, we're going to make Tupac do this stuff. Like, it's kind of macabre.
Mm-hmm.
When you, like, I still am sort of, like, wrestling with how I feel about that, you know?
Yeah, at what point is it okay to manipulate someone's identity in that way?
And it's not the first time. Like, you have instances where, like, there's that vacuum cleaner commercial
with Fred Astaire.
Yeah. And some people had real problems with that too.
Yeah,
but it's hard to, like, I'm not sure what the line is, or even what the line represents, you know, that has or has not been crossed. But it's a strange kind of thing. Like, maybe it's all about intention. As sort of like the intention behind doing this, you know? I don't know.
And I don't know what they were thinking in that.
But that was a big deal.
Yeah, it was everywhere. I remember thinking it was a lot like, I imagine it being like Turtle Talk at Disney World, where like you go to meet Crush from Finding Nemo, and you're like sitting in front of a screen, and Crush like floats up into the screen.
My God.
And he like interacts with the kids, and he's like, "Hey, little dudes!" I just pictured Tupac up on stage going, "Hey, little dudes!" You know? I feel like the music festival has gotten to the point now where you're getting all of these like very specific niche things, you know?
Yeah.
Or and not just like not like musical styles. Like there are definitely like specific style festivals. There's like Odd Ozfest and Odd Ozfest. And those, which
is
that's a touring
Ozfest
one.
Is like
so
Ozzy Osbourne's?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you got like...
Black Sabbath did their like reunion and Ozzy plays, and there's all these like, you know, metal bands.
Yeah.
Some metal bands. There's actually, Metallica has a festival too.
Are you going where I think you're going?
Where?
Are you going to take me to the most magical of specific festivals? Niche, ultra niche. A land of killer clowns.
I wasn't, but yeah, I mean, God.
I feel like we have to go.
Eventually we're going to go there, right?
Yeah.
Because it's probably the end-all be-all of a music festival.
Well, it's where we've gotten, right?
Yeah.
You sort of like, you start at the beginning, and like you were saying, music, and obviously we don't know because we weren't alive.
Right.
But music feels like in the 60s and 70s everyone likes all the same stuff.
Yeah.
And there isn't a lot there are categories, but it's the broadest categories. There's rock and jazz and the blues and country. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you don't have like new metal.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so like it feels like everyone kind of likes the same stuff. And so a festival at that point in time, there's something there for everyone.
Yeah, it brings everybody together. And there's a lot of crossover there. Like
whereas
most
now,
people who like one thing like the other bands. Yeah.
There's all these striations, all these like, you know, tendrils like spreading away from each other into these ultra-specific festivals.
Yeah.
And one of them being clown rap. Angry... clown rap.
Fago drinking clown rappers. Yeah. Do you remember like the first time you read about the Juggalo gathering as a thing?
Yeah, I mean like I remember I didn't read about it. I watched like I saw a trailer for a documentary.
Oh, the documentary. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And I think I maybe knew about it before but didn't realize the scope of it. Mm. And I watched it, the trailer, and then subsequently I saw, I think, most of the documentary. I remember going into it and thinking, you know what? Like, I'm going to try not to judge these people. Because, you know, they like what they like. A lot of people think what I like is stupid.
Right.
So why, you know.
Like me.
Yeah. And they're probably, like, good people, but it's just, you know.
Yeah.
They like this, and it seems silly to me.
They've taken it to an extreme that looks goofy to me, but
they don't help me. When I watch this documentary, like I'm fighting for them. I'm like, please don't make me feel superior to you and feel validated in my opinion. 'Cause like you're worth everything I am and your opinion's worth what, you know. But then like the stuff that these people are saying and doing, and you're just like, oh man. And like the only, you know, the one thing I can maybe get behind, which was kind of what they all talked about in the documentary, was the community. Like they had a family.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people consider themselves outcasts, and I'm sure that's true in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
So this is their sort of family that they can't get at home, and they feel a kinship in a community. But then you hear about instances where they're booing people off stage who've been brought there by the promoters of the festival.
People who ostensibly are operating
and they're throwing
their
like
wishes.
Water bottles at them. And it's just like, you know, I get it. You don't like these people, but
it's weird because I find myself in a similar place where like I start off like purposefully giving benefit of the doubt, you know, like I go into that with that mindset and coming away thinking like, man, I'm disappointed, you know, I'm let down by what I get out of that experience
which,
and looking
which,
into these experiences.
And you sort of feel like, well, you know, you feel elitist or something, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you don't want to be or pretentious.
Pretentious, yeah.
Or that you're looking down on them, but you really can't help it.
And the one thing that I'm sort of coming around to in that regard is that I think that that actually is maybe part of the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the more we as outsiders look at that and go, I'm sorry, I'm trying to get it, but I just don't get it, the more it sort of validates the fact that they get it, you know?
We're part of the equation.
Yeah, yeah. We are...
A vital part.
Yeah. We're making it possible for
them
to be
outcasts. It's a good documentary, though.
Yeah, that documentary, that I forget online. What it's called, but yeah, I've seen it. And there's actually... There's a book out now by one of the guys from the AV Club,
mm-hmm.
all about his experiences following that every year, and it's every year. He goes every year.
Is he like an ICP fan?
He wasn't when he started, but he's sort of become one, which is fascinating.
God.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So that leaves us in a weird place.
Yeah, a very strange place. What's that?
Where are we going?
I don't know. I mean,
can we make our own festival now? It seems like everybody can have their own festival.
I feel like we need to make the ultimate Findy band festival, right?
Uh huh. Findy Fest.
Like, what? Rule number one: no one can wear shoes, and you have to dress like a 1930s immigrant, or like
it's like Carnival, the festival.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. And no one can wear, like, the only colors that are allowed in clothing are, like, dingy white and brown.
Hats have to be either fedoras or pork pie hats.
Yeah. All sources of illumination must be in mason jars.
kerosene lamps.
Yeah.
Women have to wear clothing that can flap.
Okay.
It has to, like, flap in the breeze.
Yeah.
Beards
only.
We're talking a lot about visual aesthetics here, I realize. Well, but I guess that
we'll
is sort
that.
Of
well let's
part
talk about the music then. Lots of reverb and echo, and you have to have guys going hey in the background. There's like a constant hey sound or call and response. Yeah. Like, there doesn't have to be music happening. Just someone has to go, hey. Clapping percussion.
Uh-huh. Stomping.
Stomp. Yeah, really any body part hitting something is percussion, right?
Yeah.
What kind of things are they selling?
Artisanal
stuff.
Yeah, like sculpted metal.
Yeah.
And
meats in the shape of historical figures. Pine cones, just pine cones for sale.
Pipes.
Yeah, pipes. Corn cob pipes.
Uh-huh.
Suspenders.
Oh man.
Yeah.
You probably get like extra points for like the thinnest suspender.
Yeah. And high water pants.
Yeah.
Right. Accordions.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And
Calliopes.
Yes. It's just a roving calliope at all times. It interrupts bands that are playing.
It's got a mind of its own.
Everyone's happy about it, especially the band that's playing.
Yeah. They're actually really, really pissed about it, but they know that the crowd is not going to go with them if they put up a stink about it.
Yeah.
So they just pretend like they like it.
Yeah. I don't know what it's called, though. It's like mountain something, right?
There actually was one of these. Now, I just realized this. There was a movie trailer for...
What?
You're going to love this. No, yeah, you're going to love this. It's... Please. All of these bands, and they're performing on a train.
No, they aren't.
As it travels around the country.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
That is phenomenal.
Yes. What is it called?
Hey.
Into the hay train.
The hay train. Oh, my God. That's a real thing?
Yes. Yes.
Mumford and Sons.
Mumford and Sons is in it. Edward Sharpe driving and the Magnetic the train, Zeros. Right?
Are they driving the train?
They all drive the train. They take turns driving the train.
Oh,
the Big Easy Express. Yeah.
The Lumineers. Do you think Fendi bands think like Lumineers are the lamest of their ilk?
I don't know.
Do you know how like people like punk rockers are like, oh, Blink 182,
right?
Do you think like Fendi's are like Lumineers?
Yeah, they've got to have mainstream sort of the token. The one that everybody gangs up
yeah,
on.
Yeah, but that they listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all closet Lumineers fans. I don't know.
But is it Big Happy Train? Big no, Big Easy. What is it?
It's the Big Easy Express.
Yeah, Big Easy Express.
Yeah, yeah.
I want it to be called Big Happy Train. I bet stomping on a train is fun. God.
The only thing better would be like a covered wagon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. A prairie it's schooner.
The Oregon Trail Festival.
I bet Nick went on that train. He's probably one of the conductors. He has a hat like that. All aboard. Put it in the archive.